5 Grant Avenue. And do we have...
Mr. Owens, for the applicant, is PPAD, Brad Erickson, Bill Gulfford, is also here.
Okay, I'm assuming you're here to speak. Brent, you're the applicant, is that right?
Yes. I do have some small site plans.
All right, let's give this. Glossies, what they're going to look like, right?
Barry Ottenbright from number 10 is here. He'll give us a quick project synopsis.
Wonderful. Okay.
The property is located at 2225 Grant Avenue, which is just west and north of the corner of Shaftesbury and Grant Avenue.
Okay.
The property is currently used as a Winnipeg service yard, with a small ambulance station located immediately on Grant Avenue with a one approach access. The proposed project is the new Southwest District Police Station, which is the second of the amalgamated police station projects. It's a 33,000 square foot building, single story. The design of the building is very, very similar to the East District Police Station.
What's Lyle right now? How big is Lyle Street?
What size is it?
Yeah, actually, I know that.
I wouldn't know just off the top of my head.
Is it like twice as big? Is it about the same size? Is it
approximately half?
It's I'd half. Say, yeah. I would say less than half.
Okay, so the new facility would be twice as big, is what you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay.
And twice as efficient. Development includes the building. There's a public entry, which will share the entry to the current ambulance station. That's the public side. There's a separate approach that is being proposed on the west side of the property that will actually take a small strip of land from the neighboring P2 to the golf course. And that's for access to parking area behind the building on the north side of the building that'll accommodate both staff and police vehicle parking. The neighboring property to the east is the Canadian Mennonite University. We've had a number of meetings with them over the last year to coordinate some of the design challenges to this site, and are continuing networking our relationship. That's it in a nutshell.
I'm sorry, so where do they access? So, I guess they're going to be coming. Yeah. They're not going to have their sirens going, right? It's
no.
Just more and less they get a call.
There will be most of the cruisers are actually out on the road through the day. There's at the beginning and the end of each shift, the cruisers come back, or during mealtime, they will come back and use the facilities for changeover.
Yeah.
The parking lot is a larger than what you would typically see for a typical business because of the shift change. This is a 24/7 facility, so during the shift changes, particularly around 7:30 in the morning, 4:30 in the afternoon, when the two larger shifts are changing over, you will get an overlap of officers as that information is passed from one group to the next. And so there is a requirement for additional parking during that period of time when you have two shifts essentially outside of the city.
Well, and I think, Scott, you mentioned that this is, you know, how does this compare to Lyle Street? But I just said to Noah that this also is covering off what's on Pemina Highway now, too.
It's
so like we were replacing two stations with one, so the number of bodies that are going to be equal to the two complements, probably.
Right.
Yeah. Is this like a drive-through here, or what, the canopy here on the west side? Is
that? Yeah, there's the block on the northern part, or the the west part of the building is actually an interior garage. It's a secure garage, so police cruisers bringing in individuals in custody. People have been arrested, are brought into a safe garage area. They're offloaded there, and then they're taken into the facility and processed. So that's a secure area, which has parking within it as well for up to six cruisers.
Oh, six cars could go in there. Okay.
In terms of the drive-through, you're saying?
Yeah, the drive-through is actually, you're going into a secure garage.
It's probably isn't a question for you, but for the police. How long do they house people there for? Just a question.
It's temporary. They don't. It's only temporary holding. People are brought in, they're processed, they're questioned. If they remain in custody, they're moved to the downtown facility.
Yeah. Okay.
There's holding rooms. There aren't formal cells.
Right.
We did, I failed to mention that we did have a public meeting on June 28th,
okay.
Which was, I thought, was well attended by neighborhood people from the neighborhood, as well as some people actually from the Pembina Highway Detachment neighborhood who were interested to see what was going to happen with their station.
So is that station that's right near Stafford is the one that's combined with the Redwood?
Pembina. McGilbrick. By the south.
Holiday.
South Holiday.
Yeah. Holiday on that one side.
Yeah.
Okay. As I shared with you at the evening at the university, the only thing that sort of puzzles me here with as much parking as we do have, that in a big dump of snow, there's not a lot of place to put the snow. Yeah, it'll have to be trucked off the site.
We truck all kinds off in Charleswood. So, I toured the East Station, and I asked that question. I also asked why so few parking spots, because it didn't seem like a lot. They had two actual handicap spots there. And it seemed to me that...
Oh, up at the front. I'm talking at the back.
Oh, you think at the back?
Yeah.
It's all fields.
Yeah, but it's got fences.
Mm-hmm. But once again, the public comes in here, and that's where they park. Right. They're dealing with any issues. They've got to get the police. And all the cruiser cars come in here, and that's kind of where they park in the back here.
And staff.
Where the police, and then when they drive up, that's where
the police vehicles are closer to the building, and the staff parking is further to the north.
And I think a key thing is the secure parking for officers. They don't have that right now.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
And so there's quite a few issues with that. And just the cleanliness, I mean, it's just a much more organized facility compared to...
Actually, one of the most positive comments I had from the Winnipeg Police Service was the new station has really gone far in terms of recruiting young people who are interested in the enforcement.
Like there's off-season storage for their gear, there's cubbies for their other gear.
Yeah.
It just seemed really well organized and sort of a big heat, as well as big workout space. That's going to be the same in this police station.
Yeah.
And
I think of a design question here for you too. Why do all the new buildings have kind of a slanted, like what's...
One of the things that building took advantage of that we're actually doing in a much more formalized way is the City of Winnipeg has adopted now a green building policy.
Yeah.
And so this building has to achieve a LEED Silver certificate or standing.
Mm-hmm.
And what we did when we designed the original station was we took a soft LEED approach. So we incorporated a lot of LEED initiatives in the design of that building, which are now paying dividends in this building, because it's going to be much more easier for us to achieve that LEED Silver. But one of the key things that one of the key design principles behind that building, and Councillor Habsbeck can speak to this, is the quality of the environment inside and bringing natural light into the middle of the building. And so that sloped roof is really a light capture. It's a way to capture the light.
So it allows to get more natural light in the building.
Yeah.
And it brings light into what we call the central street, which is really the organizing element within the building. And then your various portions of the building are grouped around that light well. So it's worked out very nicely.
Will this back parking lot be asphalted?
It's going to be asphalted. It'll also be designed as part of our drainage control flow system for this site. That's one of the challenges of the site is the drainage. So it'll be carefully designed.
And there's a back bike rack here, too, isn't there?
Yeah, we're going to have bike racks.
And is that going to be a covered one, then?
We may have, like, a shelter just in terms of a roof over it. It won't, it'll be securable, like people walk your bike to it. We'll have a bike rack at the front as well. That's part of that lead.
Yeah. Now, the biggest change in this station compared to the East Station was the alignment of the officers sort of right in the hub of where the intake occurs and where the officers are in that workspace and working, you know, in their on their reports.
I think that's
so that's
going
to align better, right?
The biggest physical change is going to take place in that public entrance area.
Okay.
And it's actually one of the benefits of having a facility now that's been in operation for a couple of years. They've had a good opportunity to see what's worked and hasn't worked.
Right.
And we got an excellent report prepared by the Winnipeg Police Service that identified those things. And that was the most important. That was like the number one item on the list. We are doing a number of other revisions which are more administrative, and there's a slight increase in terms of the footprint in the staff support areas, and that's just based on the kind of numbers that they're now realizing in terms of people using the facility much at a much greater level than they originally anticipated. So it's the feedback's been great, and we've been able to incorporate those changes. So
Now you mentioned this earlier, and I just want to reinforce it. But you talk, we have heard of people feeling, and I've heard this in the community, people feeling, well, it's such a big station because it's amalgamating two big stations, and it's such a far area. Yet you said earlier that police cruisers are generally mobilized, right? And they're not stationary like a fire truck, say, in a station where they get the call and then they go. So they're on the road, and this will just enhance.
And you only have to look as far as the police cruiser themselves to see that they really carry their office around with them. They've got a computer in there. They've got access to all that information. They're really only spending time at the police station when they arrive in the morning and there's that shift change. And then they're coming back, you know, for their meals and if they or if within rest or whatever. So it's the intent is very much that the officers are out in the community. They're not sitting here waiting for something to happen. That's the biggest difference between, I think, the Winnipeg Police Service and the fire services, is that, you know, they're more response and these guys are out there.
Okay. Any other questions from any of the councillors?
I'll just ask, because you alluded to it, that people from Fort Garry kind of showed up wondering not so much about this event or facility, but what about their own? And you know, did they seem to understand the concept, though, that, you know, this was a centralization and they were being bundled together with St. James and Charleswood and Fort Garry as, you know, one bigger district?
I'll share a comment that couple had mentioned to me when I spoke to them was they really appreciated having the police station in their neighborhood, and that was going to be removed from the neighborhood. What they were hoping for was that there would still be some type of a community element, you know, there where, you know, there was a presence. But there was a police officer there who also spoke to them, and he reinforced the whole notion of the idea is that they're not sitting in a strip mall or in the community waiting for people to pop in, that they're out there on the street. You know, they're increasing now their walking patrols, and they want them to be seen more out on the street as opposed to you can find them here.
But I think there is almost that. I know in St. James, we heard people, and I know I spoke to the previous chief and the current chief, about having some sort of beachhead, whether it be a storefront or whatever, you know, that's a part of that. So I think that was part of the planning that's going forward. So I'm assuming there isn't any change to that, but we'll have to do discussions with the
chat. In a curious way, this is sort of the ultimate unicidification of the city of Winnipeg, going all the way back to 72, because the police station on Pembina Highway was the Fort Garry Police Station. The police station on Lyle Street was St. James Assiniboia's police station. And with the obvious need to replace the bricks and mortar, you know, it's also taking away that last piece of those communities, if you will.
Yeah.
So, and anybody who's older than me, you know, and I'm the oldest guy in the room, that you know, still cling to a lot of that.
Yeah.
So, I think it's great, and I believe in the four district system, but there's an element of loss to the two in particular, yeah. St. James and Fort Garry, that are losing their police station.
Just a question for you, just on more of a police related question. So, is it actually the amalgamation of the two districts, or is it just two districts that are sharing a home?
It's really the amalgamation of the two districts.
Okay, so it's going to be one big district,
on
the highway through. It's not two different districts sharing a unit.
Right.
That's
and
what it is.
And the other side of it is that the operation of this facility would be exactly the same as the operation of the other facilities.
Okay.
You know, once they're all in operation. So, in terms of officer movement from one station to the next, the routine will be the same. The facilities will be the same. There'll be that commonality.
Yeah.
And then.
Okay. Great.
Yeah,
thank you. Any other questions, councilors?
No.
Nothing. I think we're good, gentlemen. So we'll have you stand down, and we'll see. Is there? I guess there's two other people. All right. I'm sorry. Your name again is.
Barry.
Okay. So Barry, you're obviously here. And Suzanne, is Suzanne here? Were you here to? Did you want to speak, or? Okay, but you're here in support, are you not?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that you're the next one on our agenda, if you'd like to come and speak.
Suzanne also submitted a communication from members.
Oh, did you? Okay, Suzanne, if I get your name and address for the record, please.
My name's Suzanne Huerit. My address is number 274-3336 Portage Avenue.
Okay.
I'm in favor of this station. I think it's an excellent idea. It's something that is very needed in Charleston, Tuxedo, and surrounding areas. I'm a spiritual director and healing minister. I have a background in psychology. I'm going into prison ministry, actually, and I'm working on two proposals at this point for prison ministry to make everyone aware that the population in Stony Mountain in particular, half of the population there is under 25. Our youth are in serious trouble in Charleswood and Tuxedo, so I believe that this station is a perfect time for our youth. Our youth are at 25 years old. They were just our past youth, and they're in jail. And there's a lot of drug dealing going on in Charleswood and Tuxedo and close surrounding areas. These young people are from four-parent families. The traditional family has been changed, and these kids have lots of money. And I believe that the presence of the police station will help with this. It'll help to eliminate what's going on. There's the drug dealing and the alcohol. There's huge parties going on in those areas. I've been out in the last 6 months in particular in all areas of the city ministering to youth and adults, actually right on the streets and in coffee shops and things. It's what I do. And I think there's a serious need of having a police presence there. I think it will improve what is going on. There's a lot of going on in things happening in Shaftesbury High School, in particular bullying. There's drug dealing deals going on and a lunch hour in the area. I know that there are drug deals going on in the, there's coffee shops around and in restaurants that I've been made aware of. And so to have the police presence there, I think would be a benefit to everybody. I feel that our police deserve to have a new facility. Both the stations that we're talking about are very old, and our police officers are anointed people who do what they're called to do, and I think that a state-of-the-art facility is a definite blessing for them. I think they deserve it. And these kids have way too much money, and they're not respecting the law, their parents, or themselves. And I think that it's a timely thing that is going to happen, I hope, and would like to see. I'm volunteering myself to, and one of my ministries is youth, and to do whatever I can to assist police services in the area to help out. These kids are lost, and their parents, some of the parents are lost too, and they're out there doing the same thing. And when there's a police presence there like that in such a large proportion, I think it can make a definite change in our city. There's lots of adults around afflicting their drug problems and their need to, you know, for the money that they're bringing in, and they're using these kids, and it's very, very sad. I know that in particular, my oldest son is 24, and a number of years ago, 3 or 4, there's parties going on in Charleston, Tuxedo all the time. These parents are gone to the lake or whatever. These kids are old enough to leave on their own, and there's certain bays in Charleston itself that there's parties all the time. And the police go, and, you know, I've seen police and heard police cars being pelted with beer bottles and things like that. And in particular, a party happened, and one of the girls, who's a friend of my oldest son, she got up, left a drink, and somebody put something in it, and she ended up with serious brain damage. And actually, as of 2 years ago, I know she was supposed to be going to the States for some sort of surgery to help her. Not only are the kids doing these things, but there's also gang things happening that the police may or may not be aware of. Competitions with these kids with, you know, the money happening. So I would hope that nobody would be opposed to having this type of facility so that it benefits our youth, and our youth of tomorrow are going to be our adults. And we need to address the issue of the problem that the youth are in all over the city, but especially in Charleswood and Tuxedo, because they're in serious trouble. I have a 16-year-old, and I was speaking to him about it. He said, "Mom, it's more than just meth." He says there's cocaine and crack. He said it's mostly that, but I do know meth is huge. And recently, or a couple of years ago, I was at a prayer breakfast, and the man who started the meth labs in Ottawa was there speaking, and he received a pardon. And he's in now in MLA in Saskatchewan. I'd like to contact him and get him working on the problem as well of the meth dealing going on in Charleston, Tuxedo. It's huge, I believe.
This is not new. Yeah.
You have a question?
No. Just, I think we have had him in Winnipeg.
Serge LeClaire.
Serge LeClaire.
Yeah.
Didn't he fall from grace? I'm not sure.
Yeah. No, I thank you for coming forward, and we did meet at the public consultation, mm-hmm. and the concerns that you note were concerns that I heard during the election mm-hmm. campaign, and strongly support, you know, the added police presence that this station will bring, and so I think it's a really good thing. So. Yeah, sorry.
Okay, and I just want to close by saying I think it's a very good proposition to have them with the facility, and that I'm here to volunteer to help in any way I can and see a change in the schools and what's going on.
Right. Okay, well, thank you very much. Thank you for your passion. And one thing, one thing that you do have in common with Councillor Nardman, if you work with the prison ministry, is Councillor Nardman spent most of the 80s incarcerated in Toronto. Just kidding. Could be another thing. But thank you very much for bashing. Thanks for coming out.
But I did live in Headingley.
So that I'll see if there's any other presenters here. Tony? Is Tony Chisholm? Chubak, would you like to present, Typo?
Sure.
Okay. Oh, I'm sorry. Hang on, Tony, just for a second. Is there anyone else here to speak in favor of it? Looks like we've got the crowd here. So, Tony, if I could get you to come up here and make your presentation to the committee. This is in opposition.
Okay. Yes, My name is Tony Chuback. I live at 1400 McCurry Road. I've lived in the area for in excess of 30 years. My kids went to preschool at Tuxedo, Laidlaw, in Shaftesbury, University of Winnipeg, University of Manitoba Medical School. Successful. I'm in the opposition for the rezoning. I didn't have a heck of a lot of time to go through things, so I'm making every effort to be as correct as possible, but there wasn't a lot of time, so I might make errors, and I apologize for them. If my voice gets a little high, too, I apologize for that as well. In reviewing the bid opportunities for the East District Police, what I had difficulty with is that there's no information on the police station itself. And I'm not in opposition of the police station. It's just the location I'm in opposition to. They selected an excellent site in the East District. It was in an industrial area. No parks, no residential, manufacturing, and industrial. And that's what it should be. This area, it's the exact opposite. It uses park land. It's next to two schools, one church, the CMU. It's residence and daycare. The Tuxedo Golf Course, the Assiniboine Forest and Park, residential neighborhood. And there's no room for expansion. In the bid opportunity for these things, they talked about expansion. If they're going to expand, they're going to take it parkland to expand this one. The proposed zoning change is incorrect. Parcel A is part of the site. It seems like you want to separate Parcel A and Parcel B, but it is all one site. It's servicing one site. So you can't say that Parcel A is not part of parcel of the whole site and that it doesn't require rezoning. It's park, it's PR2, and it should be rezoned. The reason it's not is because Mr. Yock has helped me with this thing, and I'm not as familiar as he is with it. And I appreciate his assistance in stating what he's told me, but I believe it's controlled by the major park open space policy, which does not allow for the use that's proposed, and therefore an amendment to Plan Winnipeg is required. That's why it's excluded from this thing. So I don't think this zoning is appropriate. I don't think that the process that we're going through right now is appropriate. It's not meeting the requirements. It requires an amendment to Plan Winnipeg. And it should be properly advertised. The site is using golf course land. Therefore, the notice should have been posted at the entrance of the golf course so the residents could see it. And it wasn't. In fact, very few residents would have seen this posting unless they walked along the bike path.
Just as we go on, I'm going to have the police that are here. If you guys are taking some notes down, just so you can address any issues with the notification and, just to answer your questions.
It's just an opinion of mine, you're asking. So. Okay. The property is too small for the size of the building and parking. And incorporating the Tuxedo Golf Course. This isn't acceptable. It's unacceptable. The site does not have the required services. It does not have water or land drainage. Therefore, it does not meet the water and waste standards for services. There is no water and land drainage to the site on the road at Grant Avenue. It's all through public private property. The water main comes from there. It does not have required access off a grant. Therefore, it requires a variance. It does not have a secondary access to the site, as the east site did. All of the services require an extension of services from Shaftesbury down Grant. That would be the water main. However, the land drainage, in all likelihood, can't be extended down Grant because it's too shallow. It just won't make it. The land drainage, water main, and secondary access will have to be extended through private property, the CMU, by easement. This includes the land drainage, water main, and coming off of Shaftesbury to the site, to an impoundment, probably on the site, for stormwater retention. The architect has not and their engineers have not worked through the issues yet. And so rezoning the land without having these answers, it seems like it's a little premature. I have briefly discussed the issues with the president of the CMU, Gerald Gerbrandt, who has advised me that he'll be on holidays for July, but he put me in contact with Gordon Brazen, the vice president, and we plan to be working on our concerns together because it's going to involve them substantially.
They're not in favor of this, you're saying, the CMU? Or?
Well, they're not in favor, they're not opposed, but they're going to be affected by it substantially because the services will have to need to be brought down Grant somehow, and I don't know how you do that with the land drainage. I think the sanitary sewer is in Grant. I'm not sure. If it is, it's probably pretty deep and very expensive. So everything's going to have to come off of Shaftesbury. So you have an impoundment, and then the water is retained on site and then pumped to Shaftesbury through an easement. The access, the secondary access, will be that if you look at an aerial photograph, you'll see a road coming behind the site. Now, that access goes right past the access to the entrance to the daycare center. The water main that exists there, probably, like I said, I can't get all the information as quickly as I wanted to in this thing. Probably won't support the sprinkler system for the building. So they have.
What would support the sprinkler system?
The existing water main that's on the CMU property that services that site. That would actually be able to service it. It services the standpipe that's there now. Now that's the pipe I don't think is probably too old and probably not large enough to support a sprinkler system. However, I don't know. These things all have to be answered. And you'd like to get these answers before you start changing zoning.
Yeah.
That's the difficulty with my presentation. I attempted to be as knowledgeable as possible with this thing, but I can't get all the information. There's a secrecy involved with the building itself, so I can't tell what's involved in the building. So all I could do is go to the east site and look at the footprint.
Did you go to the open house?
Yes, I went to the open house. But there's no plans. They can't show you the plans because of the secrecy involved, security reasons. And I understand that. I have no objection.
But did you see this? Like, I wasn't actually at the open house, but did you see, like, I'm assuming they presented something?
Yes.
So what, you're talking about secrecy. Like, what?
Well, the building itself.
But these are schematic drawings, right? So
yes.
I don't understand what you weren't able to see from that. Because that's normally what happens, right? Our process is we have a...
Yeah, it's preliminary, like the impoundment. I asked about the impoundment. They don't know about where it would be.
Okay.
They think they know where it is, but they're not sure.
Impoundment.
They don't know how it's going to be serviced.
Sorry, I'm not sure what you mean. Impoundment of what?
The rainwater has to go into a catchment area, like a small lake.
Yeah.
Because you can't just dump it into the system. The system can't support it in all likelihood. So you can't just run the water off into the land drainage, because the land drainage doesn't exist on Grant. It exists on Shaftesbury. It comes up. I'm going by memory on this thing. It's just if I had access to the LBIS system, I'd have all these answers, but I no longer have access to the LBIS system, so I can't tell. But so the water is retained on the site and then pumped to Shaftesbury. Shaftesbury's had problems because even the houses on Shaftesbury have flooded in the past, in the recent past. My first house was 509 Shaftesbury, right across from the access here, the CMU. I moved to built a new house on McCreary. Okay. Returning to the zoning, I don't believe that a major police station, and you hear people here talking about it, they say it's a major police station. It's no longer a small station or a storefront. It's major. A major police station doesn't fall within a C1, C2 district. I believe it falls within an M3 zoning. There are no definitions in the zoning bylaw for protection in emergency services or jail and detention center. when you don't have definitions, you have to rely on other sources. And I believe that the protection and emergency services category is more of a storefront police presence or fire protection and ambulance. This is supported by the City of Winnipeg Charter under fire protection and police. And under there they talk about lockups. A major police station such as this one and the East District Station would fit into the M3 District. The East District is a 24-hour operation of up to 79 staff. That's what this one as well. This police station is 162 parking stalls, 3,800 square feet of garage, and 33,000 square feet of space. And using the East District, they talk about with lockups and prisoner holding rooms. This fits with the more with the jail and detention center rather than a protection and emergency. And I think the protection and emergency fits with the storefront, fire protection, ambulance. It doesn't fit with this particular category.
But I did ask the question when they came up here. Mm-hmm. Is this how long are they held? It sounds like it's just a kind of a holding cell. But I'll ask the question again once we call the police up. They will wait till you come back up.
They call it lockups or locked rooms. It doesn't really matter because it's still, if you go to the charter, the City of Winnipeg charter, they talk about a person being taken into custody. The definition is more clear there. So it actually defines it a little bit better. I've got that. I can read it to you if you want. But it does define it better. The zoning bylaw does not do that. And, of course, the zoning bylaw has to follow the Winnipeg Charter.
Okay.
The site presently has the public works yard, ambulance, and water standpipe. It's interesting that the architect didn't talk about the standpipe. He talked about the public works yard, and they talked about the ambulance, but they didn't talk about the standpipe. Now, that's one of my major concerns. I have been getting my water from that standpipe for the last 30 years. And because this site is being developed, the standpipe is being taken away. That's a substantial hit to me and the community as a whole. The community that relies on that water involves from McCreary to the perimeter to Wilkes to McGilvery. Those are the people. Now, there are three standpipes that exist. The one at Shaftesbury, the one at Waverly and Chevrier, and the one at the perimeter, which is at Portage and the perimeter.
Okay.
The amount of time it takes me to get my water now, and I truck my water, and believe me, it's not a pleasant process, but actually it's a very communal one. A lot of guys meet there, talk about politics, how good our councillors are.
Hardy, hard, hard.
And, the thing is, yet all the water we use is trucked. We are the most frugal users of water in the city. Now, when I contacted Water and Waste, they said it's going to be shut down. Not relocated, not shared with the police department, just being shut down. Okay. I have a 5-kilometer round trip. If I no longer have that, it will be a 15-kilometer round trip, and the time really goes up. Or, if I have to go to the perimeter, it's a 30-kilometer round trip. This is a very expensive process that we're talking
about.
How
often do you go to get your water?
Once a week.
Once a week?
Once a week. And it's that community that does it. They either get their water trucked in by tankers or they haul it themselves. When I talked to Water and Waste, they also said, well, we're going to say that usage has dropped. Okay. Now, if you ask them why, well, there's a few reasons I can tell you why. The standpipe at Shaftesbury has never been upgraded and is poorly maintained. It's a coin-operated one, and it has a 2-inch hose connection to it. The one at Waverly and Chevrier has been upgraded. The one on Shaftesbury isn't used a lot by commercial haulers. Okay, and when I say commercial haulers, it's haulers that haul water for the public, landscapers, contractors who are cutting concrete, they would go to it. Now, the Waverly one has a 3-inch pump, 3-inch connection, as well as a 2-inch one, and the 2-inch one is coin-operated, but the 3-inch one is a key-operated one.
Okay.
So you don't, you're not going to give, have a 2,000, 3,000, 5,000, 6,000 gallon truck coming into the Shaftesbury one and give them coins to be sticking in there for a long period of time. They're just not going to do it. So, of course, the usage is going to drop, as well as everybody in that whole area have put in every type of device you can think of to reduce their water usage. So, yeah, it is going to drop. There's no question about it. Going to the perimeter, it only has a 3-inch and key operation. That's really big for a guy that's doing his own haul. Your own, when you're hauling, you're either using about a 300 to a 500 gallon tank. And coins are more convenient.
How far are you from this, where the new, potentially the new development? How long
is this? He's south of Wilkes, right?
I'm south of Wilkes.
Right, so you're...
Yeah. Just straight down Shaftesbury. Shaftesbury and McCurry are the same road.
Right, okay.
Okay, so it's just straight down, just over Wilkes.
Okay.
I'm not finished yet. as an aside, if the police station went there, I bet you the usage would even be less. So why would you give them service, too? Might as well not, right, if we're going to reduce services. The last time the area... Oh, yeah. Yeah, I don't want to sound aggressive, argumentative. That's not my intention here. But the last time that the area experienced a lack of services and so on was Headingley. And that's when Headingley asked for water, was refused it, and they pulled away.
Okay.
It's not a nice process.
So what's your point?
The point is that this area is a very well-defined area.
Yeah.
It's contiguous, and that's a good word. If you go to the Municipal Act and talk to the Municipal Board, if it's right. Contiguous, all it takes is a proposal and a vote. That's all. It could be interesting that the IKEA site might end up in Headingley. Also, say they did separate,
yep.
The area did go. The city is now is willing to provide Rosser with water, and they're willing to provide water to East St. Paul. Well, you can either use the Headingley water or you can get water from the city. The solutions. There is a solution to this. There's a site that would be ideal for this thing. Okay? And it's the IKEA site, or the area around it. It's just like the east site. It's commercial, non-residential, good road access, room for expansion, fully serviced, meets zoning.
What are you talking about on radius. Where they're building IKEA, like that actual site?
No, that whole site is a huge site.
It's filled?
Yeah. Well, there's a triangular piece of land that's just right adjacent to it. It's not.
Right.
It's a very large site, and it could be. And actually, I'm surprised because I don't know, but Wilkes Avenue went through the whole thing. I don't know if Wilkes Avenue was amalgamated with that site mm-hmm. or not, but there would have been a great opportunity to exchange lands. That's a huge amount of land that could have been used in there. You could relocate the standpipe. That would be a good thing. Somewhere along Wilkes. I could give you two bid opportunities that they published in 2010, Waterworks and Waste. One for $14,000, one for $76,000. Both those things would have been easily put off and the standpipe relocated. Providing service to the public is a lot better than some of the things that they are. One of the things is an animation of how the water filtration system works. I mean, come on. The other one was the expansion of the 1199 Pacific. 1199 Pacific was developed in the last 5 years, and now they're changing the facility at a cost of $76,000. I mean, both those things could have been put off. Or okay.
Let's keep it relevant to the zonings. I mean, we can talk all day about what should have.
I agree.
Did city with
in summation.
I can just get you this to focus right on the zoning,
yep.
and you have been. But let me just if I can get you to finish off. That'd be great.
The site in summation. The site requires an amendment to the plan. Winnipeg. The site is using parks and golf course property. Zoning should be District M3. It is not serviced with a secondary access, water main, or land drainage. It adversely affects the supply of water to the large district area. And there's no good there is a good alternative site that could have access to the items that are stated above. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Is there any questions for either councillors? Nothing. I do have most of the questions down, so we're going to ask the police to address them. Notice, water and waste issues, park space, plan, zoning, and standpipe. So, great. Thank you for your presentation. We'll get you guys to come up. And
hey, guys.
Let me start with the sure. servicing concerns that were raised there. On the easy one is on the sanitary line. There's a sanitary line that runs on the north side of Grant Avenue that we can tie directly to from our site. So absolutely good on the sanitary side.
Okay.
On the water, through our research, what we've discovered is that there's a loop line that runs through the Canadian Mennonite University property that was installed at the time the property was owned by the province. And it loops from Shaftesbury directly, runs to our site, our west property line, or east property line, runs across and then into back, loops back on the north side of CMU. That's a 6-inch line, which is sufficient to provide us with our water and fire service requirements for the facility. It currently services the little ambulance station on that site. It's actually fed from that route. So on the water side,
the same line that with the right. That's that
yeah.
the current zone.
The most challenging servicing item that we have is the drainage, land drainage, and we've got a number of concepts that we've developed with our consultant team, and as I told Mr. Chubak, I'm not an engineer, I'm an architect, so I don't necessarily understand all the workings of civil engineering systems, but the general approach is that we're going to develop a plan in conjunction with CMU, we've already talked to them about this, that will resolve some of their drainage problems on their site as well as address ours. And that involves developing a drainage system on the north side of their building that will be able to tie into, but it will also address some of the drainage issues that they have in their parking lot to the north side of their building. And it'll be a combination of, at this point in time, what we're looking at is combination of open and closed sewer system that will eventually tie into the storm sewer on Shaftesbury.
Wasn't there in their plan, in their capital expansion plan, there's a plan for a retention pond right there?
Exactly.
And that's it?
Right.
Okay.
And their part of their development plan is a retention pond on the southeast corner of their
right.
property, which is actually, they have to maintain a view corridor to the historic building, so they can't actually develop there, so that's where they're going to develop their retention pond, and then we would make provision in the work that we do for them to potentially tie in their pond into that system. There's also road access that we'll need. You'll see on the site plan that I shared with you earlier, on the northeast side of our property, there's a road that will connect to that road that runs on the north side of CMU. And that is that's an agreement that will be made between CMU and the City of Winnipeg. That's emergency exit access only. There will not be regular vehicle traffic through that area.
It's only there as an emergency measure in the event that the main entrance off of Grant Avenue is blocked by terrorists, or it's for whatever reason they can't gain access there. This is the emergency exit that will provide direct access to Shotshed. And that's the same situation as what they have at the East District Police Station. There's two means of egress out of that site. Mr. Chubak also mentioned that the East District Police Station is in an industrial area, kind of out of the way. I would argue just the opposite. Police station should really be in the community, should be in the neighborhood, should be surrounded by commercial, should be in the center of the community, not outside. That was a different situation, and the choice of the property for that project was made under different circumstances. But my personal opinion is that this is in a much more appropriate position, and that's just one opinion versus another. I was just going to mention this as the property that is, I guess it's called Parcel A, which is that sliver of land on the west side of our property, wasn't being rezoned. So because it wasn't being rezoned, that's why there wouldn't have been a notice on that golf course property, because it's just being set aside as an access to our site. In our original site planning, we actually had more of the development occurring on their parking. That was all taken off. This is being used for road access, vehicle access. There's no other use on that property other than the road. We are going to be removing some trees on that west side. For the most part, there's a clearing between what is now the public service yard for the city and the golf course. We do have to remove a few trees, but for every tree that we remove, we're replacing it on our site. Yeah. So there's a net gain there.
Okay. I think that's all the questions I had. Is there anything else that you want to ask?
Just one more thing. I think before you came in here, Michael Falk was looking at trees for the fire station. Would you be amenable to discussions with him about him relocating those trees to other areas? Yeah, okay, good. And
we might even get some lead points for something like that.
Okay, good. Can you comment on any changes that might be required to our Winnipeg or Plan Winnipeg?
No.
That'd be your question?
Yeah, well, because it's a roadway. If a roadway is not really a land use, a road could be built on the golf course lands right now without triggering an amendment. It's the actual police station has to be on a commercially zoned or other zoning district. Mm-hmm. And so I'm the one that flagged the issue in the first place, because the site plan was showing that bleeding onto the golf course lands. So we discussed this internally, would this require an amendment? And our Plan of Winnipeg planner was consulted, and we came to the conclusion that if it's just an access road and not a land use, then it does not require an amendment. It is a public use, serving a public purpose, but that use is not accommodated in a park zoning district. So that's the conclusion that we came up with. So yes, it could have, the other answer could have been to go through an amendment process for those.
So you can do one or the other, is what you're saying?
There's some flexibility. This is what was decided on. I think it was just that we wanted to make sure that issue was there, it was addressed, and it was open and transparent.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions, Councillor Hammond?
I don't know.
Councillor Herman, any questions?
I'll ask the same question on the, as I did for the fire station. Your best guess of when we'll be using it?
First quarter 2012.
Yeah. Okay. Great. Okay.
Sorry.
2013. Yeah.
One year, probably a 12-month construction phase.
Okay.
Any other questions for the gentleman before they step down? No? Okay. Thanks, guys. And if you're ready to move a motion.
Sure. I will move that the receipt of public representations be concluded.
Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
Motion carried.
I move that the recommendation of the Winnipeg Public Service be concurred in and forwarded to the Executive Policy Committee via the Senate Policy Committee on Property and Development.
Okay, all those in favor, opposed, carried.
Aye.
And just a couple of comments here. During the campaign, the top priorities in Charles with Tuxedo that I heard of were crime and infrastructure. I heard of, I forget the lady's name, but the issues around drugs in the schools, in homes, is significant. And I've been working closely with police out of District 6 Station now on addressing a lot of that, as well, random vandalism. And so, you know, in getting to know the officers and hearing about crimes, the best way to combat crime is with added police presence. And so this station will provide that for the not just the those areas, but the surrounding areas where the cruisers are moving. I toured the East Station. I saw the proposed changes that would be different in this station compared to that station. I think it's way better for our officers. It puts them in a much safer situation in holding people who have been charged. In storage, it's much neater, it's more organized. The station where the officers come to my area, or Station 6, it's in very poor condition and creates you know, poor morale all the way around. And I've looked at that station as well. I think this will be an enhancement for our staff, so I'm in support of it. I have also consulted people in water and waste because that standpipe issue did come up along with other water issues, and there are some surrounding issues and some surrounding projects that I wanted to learn about, and I'm satisfied that the administration is looking at alternatives for that. So with that, I move in support with those reasons, and that the public hearing with the representations with respect to this application be concluded.
Any questions? Any new comments? So that comes from me?
No, get her done.
Okay, all those in favor, opposed, carried. Okay, and I believe there's the variance we have to go through now.
Yes.
Oh, okay, so hang on. Please note that the committee has made a recommendation on this, just for your purposes. Please note that the committee has made recommendation on this matter. Will now proceed to council. No further representations are permitted, and all persons registered for public hearing will receive notice when the matter is considered by council. So they will advise you by our clerk's department. So. You want to go through the variance?
So I move that the receipt of public representations be concluded.
Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
I move that the criteria A to D of subsection 247.3 of the City of Winnipeg Charter set out below are satisfied.
Okay, all those in favor? Opposed? Carried.
Aye.
I move that the recommendation of the Winnipeg Public Service be concurred in.
Okay, all those in favor? Opposed?
And I move that the public hearing with respect to this application be concluded.
Okay, and just a comment. Please note that the committee's decision with respect to this application may be appealed. Should you wish to appeal, information on how to do this will be included in the order issued, which will be mailed to all persons registered. So you can appeal the variance, sir. The first part, the zoning, cannot be appealed, but the variance that this talks about, the parameters that are there, could be appealed by yourself. And there will be communication from the clerks that send out that information to you, sir. Okay?
Okay.
Do we have a
consent agenda?